2nd of March, 1936. Talk number 174. Dr. Hand, the American gentleman, asked, "Are there two methods for finding the source of the ego?" Maharshi, "There are no two sources and no two methods. There is only one source and only one method." Devotee, "What is the difference between meditation and inquiry into the self?" Maharshi, "Meditation is possible only if the ego be kept up. There is the ego and the object meditated upon. The method is indirect, whereas the self is only one. Seeking the ego, that is, its source, ego disappears. What is left over is the self. This method is the direct one." Devotee, "Then what am I to do?" Maharshi, "To hold on to the self." Devotee, "How?" Maharshi, "Even now you are the self, but you are confounding this consciousness or ego with the absolute consciousness. The false identification is due to ignorance. Ignorance disappears along with the ego. Killing the ego is the only thing to accomplish. Realization is already there. No attempt is needed to attain realization, for it is nothing external, nothing new. It is always and everywhere, here and now too." 2nd of March, 1936. Talk number 174. Dr. Hand, the American gentleman, asked, "Are there two methods for finding the source of the ego?" Maharshi, "There are no two sources and no two methods. There is only one source and only one method." Devotee, "What is the difference between meditation and inquiry into the self?" Maharshi, "Meditation is possible only if the ego be kept up. There is the ego and the object meditated upon. The method is indirect, whereas the self is only one. Seeking the ego, that is, its source, ego disappears. What is left over is the self. This method is the direct one." Devotee, "Then what am I to do?" Maharshi, "To hold on to the self." Devotee, "How?" Maharshi, "Even now you are the self, but you are confounding this consciousness or ego with the absolute consciousness. The false identification is due to ignorance. Ignorance disappears along with the ego. Killing the ego is the only thing to accomplish. Realization is already there. No attempt is needed to attain realization, for it is nothing external, nothing new. It is always and everywhere, here and now too." 3rd of March, 1936. Talk number 175. Mr. N. Subbarao asked, "The Vaisishta Dvaitins say self-realization is preliminary to God realization. The difficulty seems to be considerable." Maharshi, "What is self-realization? Are there two atmas that one realizes the other? There are not two selves. First, get self-realization and then judge what follows." Devotee, "The Bhagavad Gita says there is God, whose body is made up of all the souls." Maharshi, "All are agreed on the annihilation of the ego. Let us get to business on the agreed point. Different individualities are mentioned by some Advaitins also. All that is immaterial to one's spiritual uplift. First realize the self, and then see what lies further." 7th of March, 1936. Talk number 176. Dr. Hand intends leaving the ashram tomorrow. Visit the Himalayas, then return here to go to Bombay and embark for Egypt, Palestine, Europe, and finally to his native land, America. He wants to go to the peak of the hill and desires Sri Bhagavan to accompany him. Sri Bhagavan might go up as high as is convenient for him and then wait for him to finish the climb and catch him at the appointed spot on the hill. Sri Bhagavan smiled and asked him if he had heard of the experience of Dr. Beasley, Dr. Hand. "He is my friend. He has told me everything. Wonderful. I am older than you, Maharshi, but do not give me up as a back number. I can climb up the hill as a boy would. When did you go to the peak last?" Maharshi, "About 11 years before." "What did Dr. Beasley say?" Devotee, "It is in strict confidence. I shall tell you everything if you are left alone with me." Maharshi simply smiled. Devotee, "Maharshi, are you conscious of a brotherhood of invisible rishis?" Maharshi, "If invisible, how to see them?" Devotee, "In consciousness." Maharshi, "There is nothing external in consciousness." Devotee, "Is there not the individuality? I fear to lose my individual being. Is there not in consciousness the consciousness of being human?" Maharshi, "Why do you fear to lose individuality? What is your state in dreamless sleep? Are you conscious of your individuality then?" Devotee, "It is possible." Maharshi, "But what is your experience? If individuality be there, would it be in deep sleep?" Devotee, "That depends on the interpretation. What does Maharshi say?" Maharshi cannot speak for your experience. He does not force anything down your throat. Devotee, "I know. That is why I like him and his teachings so much." Maharshi, "Do you not really prepare your bed, and are you not anxious to lose your individuality in deep sleep? Why fear it?" Devotee, "What is the nirvana of Buddha?" Maharshi, "Loss of individuality." Devotee, "I dread that loss." "Can there not be human consciousness in nirvana?" Maharshi, "Are there two selves in that case? Consider your present experience of sleep and say." Devotee, "I should think it possible to retain individual consciousness in nirvana. I fear the loss of individuality." Later, the questioner went up and around the hill and wandered about 15 miles between 12 noon and 8 p.m. He returned tired and gave a very lucid speech on agriculture, social conditions, caste system, spiritual quality of the Indians, etc.